Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Take 12, if you want to run uncut, yeah. Unapologetic from the jump, yeah. And no politics in this club, just dirt from the streets and the cliques in the mud. Take 12, best podcast for the Seahawks, number one sports talk, yeah, we got it on live. Take 12, every episode, 12 hot takes, and we reppin' for Seattle, my place. Take 12.
It's the Take 12 podcast. I forgot my mute button. It's the Take 12 podcast, everybody. With Seahawks legend Lofa Tatupu and me, Seahawks fan Brett Davard. On this episode, we are joined by Believe in Titans host David Beauclair, who will help us settle the beef between Houston and Nashville. And the former logos and the team formerly known as the Oilers and all of that. We ask him about the uniforms. We also ask him about how the Titans even got the name Titans in the first place, which he illuminated for us. And I had never even, I mean, Lofa, right? Like, I didn't know that.
Learn something new every day.
Awesome. And then, of course, we get into the matchup coming up with the Titans. And then we even, what else do we talk? Man, we covered a lot on this episode. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. David's still here, actually. David, you can say hi to the people.
Hey, good evening. Merry Christmas.
Yes. Our show is proudly brought to you by Wiener Schnitzel, everybody. Ask us about our wieners. It's two locations in Western Washington, Everett and Fife. Wiener Schnitzel, do something different for lunch today. Chili dogs, corn dogs, ice cream, you know, it's all delicious at Wiener Schnitzel. And when you mention Take 12, you get a free hot dog with any other purchase. It was a lot of fun to talk about this upcoming game. We covered so much. Let's get into it right now. Well, it's another one of those weird team things. I was telling you guys earlier in the week, and David, you can fill us in on this one, because Lofa and I have beef with the Tennessee Titans using the Houston Oilers jerseys. And we think the team just uses it because they're just so cool that they have to. But especially when playing the Titans. But the Raiders flame, Lofa, that's another one of the weird team things where it's like not necessarily yours, but they keep doing it.
Al took that shit everywhere, man. Like Frank's, that flame is like Frank's red hot. He puts that shit on everything.
I was telling my friends, I was watching a Raiders game, and they were like, "What's with this big electric torch in Vegas?" And I was like, "Well, it's the Olympic flame. It was in the Coliseum, Marcus Allen. It was a long time ago." But then, yeah, he just took the torch anywhere he went. Kind of like the Titans, I guess, have just taken the Oilers stuff to Nashville. David, what's up?
Well, I mean, they did the. I mean, the whole franchise move. This was not a case like with the Baltimore Ravens, where they were told to leave Cleveland behind. I mean, they brought and Bud Adams, actually, when he brought the team, never had any intention of changing the name. He expected them to be the Tennessee Oilers. He expected to keep the colors, and fans kind of threw a bit of a hissy fit, actually, and started to say, well, we're not going to support this team unless it's something that's ours and whatnot. Oh, so finally, Bud made what he called a quote unquote business decision and changed the name and the colors and everything. So the fact that Nashville has been really on board with all of this nostalgia all of a sudden this year and sort of have, you know, is in this public wrestling match with the Houston fan base over, over who that the you know, those uniforms and that name belongs to is kind of funny to me. But you know, Amy Adams Strunk, Bud's daughter, who runs the team now, is very cognizant of trying to connect the past and the present to the team after about 25 years here now. That you know, she's kind of ready to do that.
Well, and wasn't there also a Texans team before as well? Like, because we have the Houston Texans now, but there was also
the Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs started as the Dallas Texans.
Yeah. So there you go. So Lofa. So the Chiefs now have to wear throwback Texans uniforms in Kansas City when they play Houston, and we'll just bring this whole thing.
It would only be right. But wait. Yeah. David, now I didn't get a glimpse at the entire uni. Did you guys have like the Titan decal, or was it?
No, it's the old oil Derek logo on the helmet the whole thing. Houston folks were not happy about it, and so they were particularly pleased how that game played out on Sunday.
Just insult to injury.
What the heck, David? What's a Titan anyway? How did they become the Titans then? And what's that got to do with Nashville or Tennessee? Because I mean, you got the Utah Jazz. I mean, it would make more sense to have them be music related or something.
A Titan is a Greek god. Mm-hmm. And Nashville, Tennessee is known as the Athens of the South, because a little over 100 years ago, at one point there were, I believe the number was 56 different colleges and universities within Nashville. So it was considered a center of learning for the South and what have you. And that's how it earned the name, the Athens of the South. And so they plugged into that connection, that sort of Greek mythology
Georgia.
Connection. And
there's a
little bit of alliteration with the Tennessee Titans. So it sure. was that's kind of how that came about.
Sure, sure. And it's also one of the rare instances, or maybe not so rare, where it's named after the full state and not just the city. You know, we got the Seattle Seahawks. They're the Tennessee Titans. You got the Arizona Cardinals, but then you got the Los Angeles Rams. You know, they pick and choose.
Well, and yeah. I think that was Bud Adams, too, going back to the fact that in Texas, you know, he was a second-class citizen to the Dallas Cowboys all those years. I think that was a preemptive strike on Memphis ever getting an NFL team at some point. He was going to try and lay claim to the whole state and not have to go through that again. Yeah, it's a business decision, exactly.
Give me right. all of Tennessee. I don't want just Nashville. Smart
Lofa,
man.
Lofa, if I gave you a team tomorrow, if I gave you the Ellensburg, whatever, what would your team name be? You ever thought about that?
No, I've never thought about that, actually. No? Why, you got one? What's yours?
Me? Oh, you know me, man. Mine would be just, it would be random and weird. I don't know. Just be like the mayonnaise jars or something, because it does, you know, like I like the minor league baseball type model of it doesn't really matter what you're called, like the Savannah Bananas or whatever.
But those are like clever and like
just have fun. Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
I feel like NFL is just too serious with their, like the Commanders. They don't even know, like, are they still going to be the Commanders in a year? I don't know. They're already talking about changing it again.
Commanders, they had a chance to rename their whole team, and I think they fumbled on that one.
The Washington football team for a while there, for 2 years.
I thought that was cool. At least it was different, you know? It was, I would have stuck with that if I was them.
Enough about the names of the teams. Let's talk about the actual teams, boys. We got a game coming up this weekend. It's in Nashville. It's on Christmas Eve. Lofa, we were supposed to be in town for this one, but it's Christmas Eve, so we're staying home. David, are you going to the game?
I am.
All right.
I will be there. Yeah. For what it's worth, the Titans are not much to see these days. I'll say that. The one thing they had going for them this year is they were winning all their games at home, but now their last two, they've lost both of them in overtime, and the only reason they were in overtime was because they missed an extra point in regulation at some point. So it just keeps getting worse. And now, you know, and of course, people were excited about Will Levis, and it seems highly unlikely he's going to play this week. So it's back to Ryan Tannehill for the end of the season.
So that's where I was going for you next. Then introduce us to this Titans team and who we're going to be matching up against this weekend. Because Will Levis, I was looking forward to playing the rookie.
Yeah, he's been an interesting guy. Will Levis has kind of been the right guy for this team because the defining characteristic of this team is that their offensive line is terrible. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill at his age and coming off an ankle injury last year, you could tell he had no interest in standing behind that line any longer than he had to. He was getting the ball out very quickly this year and not pushing the ball down the field the way he had in recent years. When Levis got in there, give the kid credit. Maybe it's just that ignorance is bliss. He doesn't know any better. He just stood in there. He took the hits. He was mm-hmm. firing the ball downfield. He's not terribly accurate on the mid-length routes, but he can throw a deep ball now, and I would think Tannehill is going to get right back in there, and a guy who's going to be a free agent this offseason, he's going to be making a few business decisions of his own, and you can expect a lot of throws to the flat and a lot of those quick outs to the slot receiver and whatnot. You know, first guy who comes open is getting it, I would think.
Well, that's
especially hot potato. It really is the offensive line has been just a mess all season long, and
That kind of makes me nervous, though, Lofa, because we play, you know, teams that get the ball out quick and dump it down, and then we've had a problem coming up and tackling sometimes, and they can run after the catch and stuff like that. And I'm sure Lofa's going to ask about Mr. Henry, of course, on behalf
of the team. That's exactly where I'm going to go.
I'm assuming they're going to lean heavy on the run and short passes. And Lofa, that actually might spell disaster for us.
Well, I mean, the fact that their offensive line is not playing well, you know, is – really, that it's something that you want to hear as a Hawks fan.
That makes me feel better.
Because, I mean, even the Eagles haven't been playing to the best of their abilities the last few games. And, they had almost 200 yards rushing on us. So, that's definitely a pain point. And I want to ask, you know, David's perspective. Because I haven't seen a ton of King Henry. I do have him in 4 fantasy football leagues. And he did let me down in the first round of playoffs. I got beef with him. But some people are saying he's lost a step. Does he still look the same to you, or is it just the fact that the offensive line is that bad?
Yeah, yes and yes. He is, you know, the foot injury a couple of years ago changed things for him. You don't see Henry running away from everybody anymore. When he gets in the open field, he does get caught from behind. He takes a few more big hits as he's going through the line, the kind he didn't take in his last couple of years. But the book on Derrick Henry has never changed. You can go back to pre-draft reports in 2016, and what they said about him then is exactly the same thing people say about him now, which is if you can get to him in his first 2 steps or so before he gets up to full speed, he's not a problem. You can get him to the ground. It's not an issue. It's when he gets up to speed that he becomes a big problem. Now, you know, not as big a problem as he's been, but he's still, you know, he's still a productive running back. And, you know, you look at this offensive line and the number of times he has gotten hit early on and whatnot, it's a minor miracle that he's 6th in the NFL in rushing this season. It's stunning to me because he hasn't taken over games this year the way that he has in the past, but he has been productive. You know, he's got 10 rushing touchdowns. He had, as Lofa I'm sure can tell you, before last Sunday, he had 2 rushing touchdowns, 3 games in a row. I mean, the book on him has always been that he gets better as the year goes on because he doesn't wear down and you know, defenses are getting less interested in tackling him at this point in the year, but that doesn't seem to be the case right now. And I think it's all tied to the, to the offensive line. He's taken more hits behind the line. He's taken more bigger hits. He just Sunday against the Texans, when he ran 16 times for 9 yards, was the first time that he looked like an old man to me. And you know, if you've ever seen his workout videos on Instagram during the off season or whatnot, you know that this is a guy who takes care of himself. And so I you know, he's going to be a free agent this off season. If he comes back here, or if somebody signs him, you know, I still think he can be a productive back, but you know, they're like, he's never going to threaten 2,000 yards again.
Yeah. I really thought he was going to be, you know, trade deadline, you know, like that they were going to ship him, you know, get some for him because he's going to be a free agent next year. I don't know if they re-sign him, but he's still a guy that if he gets into like a San Fran blocking scheme, Philly, Miami Dolphins, you know, and I know they have their guys, but even like the Ravens, if they were to add that, you know, punch to all the speed they got back there, that is a game changer. He still is that dude. But yeah, and then the kid behind him, I loved him in his college tape. I think it was in Tulane, right? Spears.
Tajay Spears, uh-huh.
This kid is unbelievable, and this is one that we do not want to see in space, Brett. Speed, toughness, balance, you know, moves and power. It's he.
Are the
I'm
Titans
trying to think.
Throw the ball at all?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like they run it the whole time with these two guys.
It's a good question, because outside of DeAndre Hopkins, they have nothing at wide receiver. If they hadn't managed to land Hopkins in the offseason, I shudder to think what this offense would have been like, because Hopkins has been huge to this team. I mean, he's got 919 yards receiving. No one else on the team has as many as 400. No other wide receiver has more than 370. You know, none of the other wide receivers on the team scare you with their speed, their elusiveness, anything like that. I mean, and Hopkins and Levis had developed a sort of big brother, little brother relationship where, you know, Hopkins is kind of coaching him up almost after almost every snap. It's been kind of fun to watch. And, this is a team that needs to run the ball. And, you know, back to your point, Lofa, I thought the Titans for sure were going to trade Henry. They've gotten almost nothing from their 2020 and 2021 draft classes. These are guys who should be coming into their primes and whatnot. So they've traded. They don't have a lot of picks in next year's draft. You know, to sort of make up for time, I thought they needed to just sell out and collect as many draft picks as possible. And I thought the same thing you did. I thought Henry to Baltimore made so much sense. It would have been terrifying to the rest of the league if he had ended up there. But the good news for the Titans is Tajay Spears, they've been looking for 3 years for a change of pace back to work off of Henry. And they, one of the best things offensive coordinator Tim Kelly has done this year is sort of go against the current, if you will, in how they use Spears. You know, they'll go four wide with Spears in the backfield and hand it off to him. Or they'll sometimes line up with Henry and Spears in the backfield and then motion him out and hit him with a quick screen. The personnel grouping suggest one thing and they do the other thing with Spears. And so he has really taken advantage of that, has a marvelous yards per touch average right now.
Oh man, Lofa, I don't know. You know, late in the season, playing a veteran quarterback with a really strong running field back and a strong backfield in general, and then Hopkins, who he's had some big games against the Hawks before. I don't know. I'm getting a little nervous. Game day is approaching. Brett's getting nervous.
I think the only thing that makes me nervous about this matchup is them coming off a game that they clearly had in the bag. I don't know why they kept throwing the ball. And you know, Vrabel's a coach I have a lot of respect for, and we saw it. What was it, 2017 or 18 when they came out here and they just ran it like 50 times.
Yeah.
And in that game, I was like, they don't have enough time to keep running it. Like, go ahead, run it, milk the clock. And then Henry breaks a 60-yarder and they go to overtime and they beat us. But I really didn't understand like last week's game plan. They were up by, I think, 2 scores. And then the, you know, Texans come back, tie it up and then win it in OT. I just didn't understand that. But us coming off of an emotional last second win.
Yeah.
And them coming off of a loss, you know, that are the makings of a trap game. And well, just like,
we have to have it though. It's a must win.
It's funny. Seattle is very much in the same position this week that Tennessee was the week before. Remember, they had gone to Miami and on Monday night, and you know, gave up the two touchdowns late in the fourth quarter, and then managed to score twice, plus get the 2-point conversion in the last 3 minutes, 43 seconds of that, and you know, they came out, and it seemed like they had all the momentum still from that game. Marched down the field, scored a touchdown, get a defensive touchdown, you know, those, which is something that that normally is going to mean a win, and then they just stopped and Houston sort of just dug in and kept coming, finally got it going. And it's funny you mentioned that, Love, because I thought the same thing. I thought Seattle's going to come in here probably looking to build on that momentum, and in the first quarter and a half maybe is going to be really, really big in this game.
Hey, shout out to our sponsor, EpicSeats.com, everybody. Local company up there in Seattle, EpicSeats.com, whether you're holding on to some tickets and some seats that you want to sell, they can do that for you. Check them out. And if you want to buy seats to anything, of course, use epicseats.com. Mention Take 12 and take 12% off when you spend $100 if you're buying seats, and add an extra $12 per ticket when you're selling seats with epicseats.com. All over the globe, by the way, and not just football tickets, concert tickets, and whatever you guys need. David, what about the Titans defense? I mean, you know, the Seahawks offense, especially that last drive and JSN and getting DK involved, and we got a lot of weapons here. But how are the Titans going to stack up there on defense?
You know, their front seven is really good, but they're without their best player right now, Jeffrey Simmons, which is a problem. Plus, they released Tyre Tarte, one of their nose tackles, this past week. He apparently developed a bad attitude and got sideways with the coaches a bit. So he was one of their best run stoppers. But the big thing is, if you can give the quarterback just enough time, guys can get open against this secondary. The secondary has been a big disappointment this season. Christian Fulton, their number one cornerback, who was terrible at the start, kind of got settled in a little bit for a couple weeks, and then had a couple bad games again. He's on injured reserve. He's done with a hamstring injury. So he's replaced by a second year rookie who was an undrafted rookie, Trey Avery, and Avery is susceptible to getting beat deep. The safeties, of course, they traded Kevin Byard a week before the trade deadline. So that was their best safety, their best communicator back there by far. I think if you're the Seahawks, you want to take shots early and often in this game, because chances are you're going to hit some of them. Look at the Colts game here 3 weeks ago. Indianapolis scored two touchdowns when Alec Pierce got open deep and set up a couple things, including the game winner in overtime. And when you're talking about Alec Pierce, right? He's not in the same class as DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett or probably even Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think there's a real opportunity for Seattle if you just protect the passer just enough to give him time to get the ball downfield.
Sounds like a lot of miles on Delta to me, Lofa. Sounds like a lot of yards being thrown by Seahawks quarterbacks. Sign up for 12 status, everybody. DeltaAirlines.com. You get 1 mile for every yard the Seahawks throw for. You got to be a Washington State resident. Sign up for 12 status at Delta at Delta.com. Lofa, you know what? I'm going to say Tyler Lockett. It's been a few games. It's been a little quiet. We haven't had any Tyler Lockett things, you know, any vintage Tyler Lockett style catches in a few weeks. I think this is going to be a Tyler Lockett game. I hope. Let's send him deep.
Yeah, but you know what? And even Tyler, you know, he is a win, team first, win at all cost mentality. Sure. So he doesn't even care. I mean,
I know. I'm just saying, okay. Have we gone this long without hearing Tyler's name?
We have.
Tyler Lockett, you know, corner the end zone, knee drag. Like, I don't know.
We have. And a month ago, when we were on a month-long losing streak, I would have said we need to see more, but we did. We saw 6 for 68 against San Fran. We saw another game where he was. But right now, the best thing we're doing, David, this might scare you, is we're actually running the ball.
Yeah.
We're actually calling designed run plays and executing them well.
Yeah.
And the other thing we're doing is throwing the deep ball very well, whether it's Geno or it's Drew. Uh-huh. We're getting those shots downfield, taking those chances, and DK's coming up with and JSN, who the whole report coming out was, he can only play in the slot. He just eats up zone coverages. The opposite's been true. He hasn't been great in the slot. He hasn't been great against zone. You put him in man, whoever's covering him, even top cornerbacks, are dust. He's taking them deep and then embarrassing them.
Yeah.
And he scored a big touchdown the other night. His confidence should probably be at an all-time high right now, I would think.
That's his second game winner. He beat the quick screen against Cleveland to cap the comeback was his first one. And then that one, and the catch was just – it was unbelievable.
I saw a still image of it again this morning, like on my algorithm. A still image.
If you see this, it looks like it's a drop, right?
Yeah, they were saying
on the still image.
Like, this was a catch. It just doesn't. How? Incredible.
Incredibly strong hands. And
the guy the Seahawks will have to worry about on that side of the ball is DeNico Autry, who is not exactly a household name, but one of those guys who is just a terrific football player. And he will line up at maybe 5 different spots on the defense. He'll be over the center sometimes. He'll be standing up on the edge sometimes. He'll be between the guard and the tackle, and it just doesn't seem to matter. Wherever they use him, he's going to make 1 or 2 or 3 big plays a game. And if those plays result in turnovers, then the impact gets magnified that much. He's a guy in his early 30s now. He's played for a few different teams and just one of those guys who just keeps playing ball. And he's been really, really good of late here with Jeffrey Simmons gone with the injury.
Jeffrey Simmons is a savage. Autry is a beast too.
Simmons is just one of those, physical freaks. I mean, he is the closest thing you're going to see to Aaron Donald right now, in that he's a huge man who can just plant you in the dirt if he wants
to.
He can run around you if he wants to. Yeah, he's an absolute bully. Plays that way, and they definitely miss him in the middle right now.
Hey, how about a guy in the middle of our defense though, Lofa? We didn't give him a shout out on our last episode, but how about Leonard Williams? He really had a breakout game, so to speak, at least from a Seahawks perspective. That last game, he was all over the place.
Do they move him around? Because that's the teams that have taken advantage of the Titans' offensive line this year have sort of taken their best guy, like Cleveland did it with Myles Garrett, and found a matchup that the Titans just couldn't handle. I mean, does Williams line up at the same spot, or will they move him around and find that spot for him?
They move him a little bit, but not like Miles. And, Miles whoop anybody's ass. Leonard looks like he's finding more confidence in this defense. I mean, he was still productive and good for the Giants and every other team he played for. But I think, him in there with Jaron Reed, who's a guy that doesn't get enough credit. He does all the dirty work, everything he does. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but he is a savage in the middle. Those two together have found a nice, rapport in terms of pass rushing and then just being absolute savages themselves and beating the guy across from them. Just whoever lines up across from them is in trouble.
Okay.
And I think he's been very consistent, I think, is the most thing. Yeah, because he's had he's got like 6 or 7 sacks now, right? So, I mean, it's been one of the biggest, gets at the trade deadline for any team.
Well, speaking of who will line up, though, I mean, Lofa, I'll start with you. Who should play quarterback for the Seahawks?
If Geno is healthy, it's not a question. He gives us the best chance to win.
Okay. David, who do you want to see play quarterback for the Seahawks?
Oh, I think either whoever – I guess you'd have to say whoever doesn't throw the deep ball as well, because – you know, because I'm going to go back to it. There's going to be a couple plays where guys are going to be running wide open deep. It happens almost every game with the Titans right now.
So you don't want to ride the momentum of Drew Lock, Lofa?
The momentum of what, one quarter?
I don't know.
Of two drives? Actually, technically just one drive that if James Bradbury doesn't just close his hands, that game's over.
I've seen a lot of polls online. I wish our guy McNeil was here. I've just seen a lot of polls on all the algorithms that are about 50-50.
McNeil is the one starting those conspiracy theories.
No, what I'm saying is it's not even like there's not a clear, not a clear decision amongst the fans.
No one knows what
about 50-50. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know.
Oh, shocking. The fans don't know who to choose. Shocking.
I know. I know.
All I'm saying, if he's healthy, mm-hmm. he is our quarterback. Like he put 30 up on the Cowboys who were on fire at their house. Just embarrass them, right? Does Drew do that if he gets the opportunity? I don't know.
I don't know either. All I know is one hasn't played in 3 weeks and the other one might have a hot hand. And in sports, I was very
proud of Drew even going into San Fran. I know we only got like 16 or 17, but he showed a lot of heart. He made some great throws. And then he played his ass off. The stats weren't crazy. What was it, 208 yards? I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, no.
No interceptions was the best stat, more so than the winning touchdown pass. No interceptions, no turnovers.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is because you brought up the last game and the momentum or a hangover or what the last game meant or this or that. And I'm just saying that's the guy who threw the ball, who did the post game interview, who's got the momentum. I'm just asking if that plays into it at all.
Absolutely not.
All right.
Injury and health is what plays into the decision of who plays.
Okay.
From an outsider's perspective, I mean, Geno, it's still Geno's team too. Sure. It's not, you know, guys in that room love him. We all saw the way they played for him last year. I think thanks, Drew. Nice job. Go take a seat for a while again.
Well, as a host, I love a quarterback controversy. So I love that we have one all the way through till the end of the year. We've got a full-blown controversy on our hands. Lots of time.
You do. Not we. You.
Okay. Geno starts the game, and it's 10-0 Titans at halftime.
Which was the exact same score that the Eagles were up on us? Were we going to go put Geno back in or put Sean Mannion? Was he coming in?
All I'm telling you is I'm not arguing for either side. I just love the content that can come out of this.
Titans were up 13-0 at home on Sunday. That didn't work out for them either. So
just stick with it, right? We'll pull it out.
That's right. We need to get to our score prediction challenge, though. We put this up on our social media every week. You guys have been blowing this thing up. I think last week we're just getting more and more responses that every single week that this thing happens. Somebody won last week, so the pot resets itself. It's a $25 gift card to our friends at Simply Seattle. Remember, if no one nails the score, we add $25 each week until someone nails it. So
Christmas spirit, can we add $25? And those are rookie numbers in this racket.
I mean, you can if you'd like. Would you like to do that for the people? I'll split it with you.
Yeah, it should be at least $50. Or 100. Put it to 100.
It's Christmas Eve. Come on. Yeah. That's right.
The Christmas bonus, everybody. Yes,
let's go.
Hey, you heard the man. All right. $100 brought to you by, 75 of it by Lofa and 25 of it from our friends at Simple Seattle.
Tell Jamie and Simply Seattle I'll Venmo them.
All right. We'll have to get them on the phone, see if we can strike up a deal. But anyway, it's our friends at Simply Seattle, everybody. Go to simplyseattle.com. Check out all of their fine clothing products, all the sports teams in the Northwest. They're the number one and largest Seattle Supersonics retailer on the planet. You can get your Sonics gear there. Of course, Seahawks gear, Kraken gear, UW, WSU, whatever else you want. Sounders, it's all good. It's simplyseattle.com and use our promo code TAKE12 to take 12% off of anything over there. David, you're our guest. What will the final score of the game be?
It will be Seattle 26, Tennessee 13.
Oh.
Okay. Wow.
I like that.
Well, that's a comfortable that's a comfortable Christmas Eve for me. I like that. That
made me very happy.
Fast forward.
I will go Seattle 31. And I'm not going to lie. I think King Henry takes last week pretty personal. Vrabel goes back to him and they get some. I'm scared. I'm scared of King Henry. I'm not going to lie. And Spears. I think they run the ball and it's going to be a close one. 31-27. Hawks.
See, yeah, I always get scared predicting any kind of blowout because that's jinx territory. And then anytime we think they're going to do that, it's always like a Seahawks score of like 9-8 or something. Yeah. Just weird. What was that? Did you guys see that game the other week? It finished 9-7. Who was that?
I saw the 3-0 between the Raiders and the Vikings. Oh, yeah. Another,
anyway, I think there's more offense in this game, though. I agree with Lofa. I think you guys are going to be able to run it a little bit, especially with both guys, not just Derrick Henry. So, but give me a Seahawks victory 29 and the Titans 24, something like that.
It's a good score.
All right. Yeah. There you go. How about Packback? Coolers, Lofa. Coolers, mm-hmm. Packback. PACBAK. Go to packback.com. Everybody, they're the coolest coolers in the world. They're huge. You can put all your kids in this thing. It's enormous. I mean, seriously. It has two different compartments. A lot of the big expensive coolers out there, you guys know which brands I'm talking about. They usually have just the one big compartment where everything is going to get all soupy and gross eventually. Packback, they've figured it out. It's got two different compartments. You get to keep things separated. They're wonderful. And of course, they have the backpack, which you can take hiking and bring all your beverages with you and keep everything nice and frosty. And also,
officially, Nick Ballore is going to get a backpack.
Amazing.
I want everybody to be aware that Nick Ballore fullback gets a backpack. Backpack.
And you guys,
backpack.
holiday time around the corner, all that. I don't know if you'd get it in time, but these are great holiday gifts for anyone out there. So check them out. And then also, Kate, are they letting us give one of these away? A Packback cooler? Is that going to be happening?
Yeah.
You're talking
no
to
them? Way.
We're going to give one to listeners?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. So stay tuned.
It's like a $1,000 cooler.
It's a very expensive cooler. That I think, are we giving away a cooler or a backpack? A cooler?
Oh, holy shit.
All right. So stay tuned. We're going to have to figure out details on that contest coming up soon. Guys, packback.com, everybody. Anything else I'm missing, Katie? We've been a little long on this one. Should we wrap it up?
Good to go.
All right. We're wrapping it up.
We're good.
Anything else from around the league you guys are looking at, though? Or
just that Monday night game.
That Niners-Ravens game, yeah.
Yeah. Dallas Dolphins. We'll see how that goes. But I don't think either of those guys do anything in the playoffs anyways. So it's like, why am I going to watch them?
Dallas first round exit, as is tradition.
Yeah, same with Dolphins.
A little viewing tip for Sunday, though, on Titans Seahawks. Uh-huh. Keep an eye on Mike Vrabel on the sideline. It has become one of the most entertaining aspects of this season. I so badly want to play poker with the guy. He's the worst poker face in the world. You can tell. You'll know by midway through the first quarter if he thinks his team's winning or not. And he'll just get this look on his face of total disgust, and it just every time they do a sideline shot of the Titans, be sure to check out Vrabel's body language and his facial expressions, because you'll know exactly what the dude is thinking.
I saw a GIF or a meme that was on. It was after they botched the David. Tell me you saw this one. They botched that punt return.
Yeah,
I don't know why the kid tried to catch the ball. When he comes over, he tries to explain him, and Vrabel's just looking at him. He goes, "I don't give a fuck."
Yeah,
exactly. That's all that was said. The guy did a lot of winning in his days.
Yeah,
several Super Bowls. You know the standard and the expectations that he's placing upon these guys. That's all I'm saying. To understand.
He's fascinating as a head coach, and I know we're a little long here, but of all the coaches I've covered in this league, he is the most self-aware. And I don't know if it's because maybe he had a really rapid rise through the ranks, but most guys, when they get to be a head coach, they're like, okay, everything I've done to get here is right. This is who I am. And they, you know, they think they have so many other things to think about. They don't think about themselves. Vrabel really does sort of do his own self-scouting and sort of, okay, what can I do better this season? What do I need to do differently? And what have you? And it's funny, this last season and a half, you remember the Titans lost the last seven games of last season. And before that losing streak, they were number two in the AFC and looking like they were a lock for the playoffs at that point. I think he has really been humbled to a degree this year. Like he really was thinking, okay, I've got this coaching thing figured out. I've been to the AFC championship game. I've had a 2,000 yard rusher. I've restored Ryan Tannehill. You know, all these things that went right his first couple seasons. He's learning that a coach can only do so much. And if you don't have the talent, and he certainly has been, I think humbled a little bit this last year or so.
Maybe he's a real dude though.
He's legit competitive as they come and all that. And like the players will tell you, one of the things they love about him is he thinks he can coach every single position group.
I guarantee you he
will sit in on every position group meeting.
Yeah.
He will on the practice field. He'll grab a tight end and say, you know, you should have put your foot in the ground at this angle here instead of that angle. I mean, he is so detail oriented. It's fascinating.
And I don't think he's gotten humble. I think he's done a great job with a team that has obviously aged is not. You know, they didn't have Tannehill for half the season or whatever, and then just decided, hey, well, Will Levis gives us the best chance to win right now. So, like, I don't think he's been humbled. I think it's just been a tough season. Every coach goes through it. And, you know, him and then Rand Carthon, he's, you know, the new GM. I think they're going to be doing big things together in the future, man. That's both two guys that I played with and against and have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
It's a huge off season for Rand to get to make things happen. I told you they don't have a ton of draft picks. They do have a lot of salary cap space and they have holes to fill. So he's going to have to spend that money wisely.
Yep. You guys can find David on the Believe in Titans podcast as part of the Believe Sports Network. Guys, hands in the middle. We got to break it down and get out of here. Everybody, enjoy your holidays. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy your time with family. Remember, you know, take a deep breath. A lot of family time.
Don't remember the Titans.
Hey. On three?
No. Somebody's got to break it down here.
Come on.
It's up to Dave, man.
David, what are we breaking it down to?
Christmas on three. One, two, three.
Christmas.
Hey, everybody. We love you. We'll see you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.